Today I wanted to look at the topic of the God of all comfort. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is where we will start. You guys know this verse, I'm sure. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. It's a wonderful verse. God of all comfort. You know, when you think of that, I'm sure many things come to mind for people. Because really, you know, if we say he's the God of all comfort, it's really hard to just characterize God with one characteristic. I know a lot of things come to mind. I'm sure we all have our favorite characteristics. you know, you might think he's the God of peace or mercy, like it says there, that he first loved us, that we can cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. There's no darkness in him. He's a gracious God. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore, evermore joy, and all things you think about that are really related to comfort too, you know. I mean, and so the thing that it isn't related to, which a lot of time people mistakenly think about, is that it's not that cottony wool comfort that people think about, you know, that everything will be all right and, you know, God has a plan for everything, and God is in control. All these things you hear, and you hear them. I must hear that every week. Maybe I'm listening to the wrong sources. I don't know. change the dial. It's not really, you know, that kind of comfort that we're talking about here. When someone says to you that God is in control, they're immediately telling you that whatever you do is not worth doing. Because whatever is going to happen is going to happen anyway. That's really destiny thinking when people say that God is in control. God does what he does according to his word. That's all we know. What he tells us in his word is what he does. And, you know, I don't read that in the Bible. I don't know if you find that verse, then you can point it out to me. But when someone says to you that everything will be all right, that's just a lie. Because you don't know. You know, do you think everything was all right when Stephen was stoned to death? Don't worry, Stephen. Everything will be all right. No, actually, he died. You know, how about John the Baptist? Everything will be all right? No, well, it wasn't, was it? So, you know, when people say those kind of things, it's false comfort. It's not real comfort. Now, the thing that we want to get to is, what is real comfort? What is that comfort that God offers? Even when bad things happen, we know they happen. I think we need to not just look around and we can see that. You know, so when someone says, oh, it's okay, everything will be all right, and don't worry, you know, and well, you know, unless God told you to say that and you have very clear direction to say that in this particular situation, better just to stick to what the scriptures say. What do they say about God? You know, sometimes, I mean, you can also read all the Hebrews chapter 11, right? There's a wonderful, we all know Hebrews 11. All those wonderful believers, if you remember the last 10, 15 verses, what they went through. Yeah, and God, was he the God of all comfort to them? Absolutely. But, you know, but times were tough sometimes, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Times were rough. But yet he's still the God of all comfort. That's what his words. He's still the God. He's still a merciful God. He's still a loving God. You know, and sometimes you get a little inkling of what happens in the world, because the world is not a fair place. Sometimes I did mention, we'll look at the justice of God someday in his word. But you get a little inkling of his justice system when you look at things like the law. The law is a good example. You know, God had to do something to best bless his people, so he put a law in place. And it's, you know, it's a little understanding of his justice system. You know, you shouldn't murder. You know, don't get into idolatry. It's a bad thing. You know, he does all these things. You get an idea, or when the day of the Lord, another good example of something in his word that has to do with his justice system. The day of the Lord is coming. You know, and that is, and also Thessalonians says that some, it, God considers it just to recompense tribulation to those who trouble you. Mm-hmm. But are you still being troubled? Yes. So you see, there is God's justice system involved in all of this, but it doesn't mean that it's a smooth ride. It's a simple ride, and there's this, everything is just fine all the time. That's not God, the Word of God doesn't promise that. You know, but it does promise that He's the God of all comfort. It does say that. So what is this comfort? Now that we're all bummed out. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Because His word is true. And He says that, and so it, therefore it is true. Romans 15 verse 4. And somebody was praying about this today. I think it was you, Advish. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation, He's called the God of patience and consolation. And here it says that the real comfort is knowing what His Word says about Him and not of what people think. The Word of God and what it says about Him is what gives us hope. And it gives us comfort. And as much as we speak the Word of God to one another, and what the Word says, not what you might want to say. You might be in a really tough, someone might be in a really tough situation, and you might be inclined to say, oh, don't worry, everything will be all right. Just stick to what the Word of God says. Tell people what their God is like, what He'll do for them, and how He takes care of us and watches over us. You know, and then those that word that you speak brings hope. And it brings comfort. It only makes sense that the Scriptures bring comfort because He's the God of all comfort and He actually authored the Scriptures. So it would make sense that His Word brings comfort, wouldn't it? Right? Look at Psalm 119. If it's what we have, we can hold on to this Word no matter what is happening, what is going on. The Word is true. It is right. It is established in heaven forever. Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Just like we read in Romans. This is my comfort in my affliction. Wait a minute. Psalm 119, verse 42. 49. Did I say 42?
Yeah.
No. Well, 49. Well, 49. Okay, I meant 49. Sorry. So, you know, but you notice there, it says that this was his comfort in what? Affliction. So something was happening, wasn't there? He was having challenges. There's no guarantee that everything's fine and smooth and all. It doesn't happen that way. I think we all understand that. So here he says, yeah, and the comfort that I had was I knew what thy word said, even though I was going through a rough time. For thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Right? Comforted. So that would mean that it's probably pretty important for us to know his word. If I want real comfort in situations, I need to know his word. I need to know what his word says. And I could have this, you know, general sense that God loves me and cares for me. I know that, and we believe that, and we all trust that and understand that He protects us and all that, you know. And that's very important. But to live that way, to stay solid despite the affliction, despite the attacks, and there are many and varied, you know, is to glorify Him and His Word, not the attacks and the things that happen, or who might have caused them. It's to glorify Him and His Word and go back. I know what's going on. But thy word has comforted me. Because I know you're the God of all comfort. You had this author for me. And you know, when he put all these things together, the law and whatever else he did, it was to bless his people. You know, to bless his people, not to hurt them. In Joshua chapter 1. You know, there's no guarantee that everything will be all right. If you remember the Old Testament, you know, there was a few cases, and you'll probably think of a few of these, where, as you make your way to Joshua, where Moses said to them, you know, you have a choice. You know, I'll give you a couple of choices. You know, it's always good to have at least two choices. Otherwise, it's communism. You know, I'll give you two choices. Here's life, and here's death. Here's life, and here's death. So at that point, they had the choice to make. You know, and you can choose life, you can choose death. Even if you choose life, you know, did those who choose life, was it a smooth ride? No. So the point is, you go through life and you make choices in life. And those who say, you know, God's in control and all of what is meant to be and all that nonsense, have no understanding of that very, very simple truth that God has given you a choice. He will never force you to worship Him. Right? That's not going to happen until the day of the Lord, when it says every knee will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's compulsion. Today it's not compulsion. Today it is freedom of will. And that is a choice that you make in life. Every single day you choose. You know, even those who make that choice, you still have challenges. But through those challenges, knowing that the scriptures are right, God is there, is God of comfort, mercy, consolation, all these things, that is true. And that is always true. So those believers in Hebrews 11 that wandered about in sheepskins and all these things they did, they had the God of all comfort with them, saying to them things like He told Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. For have I not commanded thee, be strong, and of a good courage, be not afraid." Why? Don't be afraid, neither be dismayed. Why shouldn't I be afraid? Why should I not be dismayed? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's what He says. And I'm sure you know, you all have your favorite verses that talk about that. You know, "Even if I make my bed in hell, Lord, thou art there," and all these things you know. You know, that's why we don't have to be afraid. You know, you might look around and see all the attacks and the fiery darts and the things people say and whatever comes at you from many sources. But the reason you don't have to ever be afraid or be dismayed or discouraged is because God is with us. And today, I mean, even greater, we'll look quickly in a minute here, is that we have Christ in us. You know, temple of God and the body, like all the wonderful things we understand. God is with us all the time. I mean, that's a good reason. Hebrews 13, you know, this is echoed in Hebrews 13 as well. Hebrews. Verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And I remember, I think, you know, there's a figure of speech here, and it literally means, "I will never, never leave thee," or "never, never, never forsake you." It's very, very strong. "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." It's exactly what Joshua. "And I will not fear what man shall do unto me." You know, in order to see that blessing of the comfort that God's word promises and that His presence with us promises, we have a regular choice to make. You know, Amos says, you know, "Can two walk together if they're not agreed?" If I'm going to walk with Him, I have to obey Him. That's the choice that Moses put forth to people, right? He said, "Listen, you know, you have death of life. If you choose to do the commandments, you know, then that's life. If you don't, then, well, it's the other way." You know, so the daily decision that you make is, you know, I can trust Him. I know He's there. I know His word is comfort, but I have to obey Him. There's no easy Band-Aid solution to seeing the blessings of God short of believing. You have to believe what He says. We have to believe His word. You know, and then we see the blessings of that. I mean, again, it says in Hebrews, you know, he that comes to God must believe that He is. And we must believe that. We must believe His word. It's something that, and that's what, you know, and so those believers who wandered about and did all these things in Hebrews and other places and Joshua and things, when they believed Him, you know, I can tell you, and you can tell me, "Hey, Rod, you know, God is with you wherever you go." I have a choice now. Am I going to believe what you're telling me? Or is it just some kind of, you know, wall scripture, you know what I'm saying, greeting card scripture, Hallmark Or is it something that I believe that God is with me? I'm here in a situation, I may not be, you know, making the right decisions, I may not be doing the right thing, whatever situation, but do I believe that He's with me right there, that I don't have to be afraid, I don't have to be dismayed? And He promises that you do that, you know, I'm the God of all, I will comfort you, I'm here, give you consolation, I'm merciful, I'll be merciful to you when you even make mistakes. But I got to believe that. That's up to me. That's on me. And that's up to me, and it's up to you. It's up to us to believe that, those truths, every single day in Matthew chapter 11. You know, I was thinking about various cases in you know, when Moses was on the mountaintop. Remember that wonderful time when Moses was on the mountaintop? When God told him, you know, you're not going to go to the promised land. You know, and he had led the children. I mean, I read Moses' life, and you've all read it. And it is very tiring to read about Moses' life. I mean, you think we have challenges. But, you know, when he went up to the mountaintop, you know, and when God told him, you're not going to see it. I read that record, and the more I read it, the more I don't read it as a really bad record or evil or anything. I see it more of a guy who had done what he knew to do, and he was tired. And God says, okay, it's time for you to, you know, fall asleep. And it's a very, very, very respectful thing. So, you know, even though he was with him the whole time, Moses' life wasn't easy. But boy, was God with him? Oh, my goodness. Time after time after time after time. The things, the decisions he had to make for his people. It's just amazing. Right, and then Paul, when he was on the road to, you know, when he went to Jerusalem, he wasn't supposed to go. Pretty serious mistake. Yet, soon as he was captured, God protected him. God protected him once with a Roman soldier, and then once with, you know, various things that happened to him. And then on the way to Rome, Jesus appeared, the angel, I mean, he appeared to him, said, you know, I'm with you, and you're going to be saved and all that. So God constantly protected him. His life wasn't smooth, and suddenly didn't make mistakes, but he believed. And the comfort of God, that comfort, the God of all comfort, was always there. Never left him alone. Even at the end, he said, no man stood with me, but the Lord stood with me. You know, so he was always there. So it wasn't easy. Matthew 11, verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Rest to the soul. It's only fitting that the Son of God, and all that He accomplished, and all that is promised through Him, is rest to our lives, comfort, because His Father is the God of all comfort. And so He provided His Son as a means of comfort and rest and peace to our souls. That's that. So you see, it's pretty that characteristic. It's our God, it's our Father. His Word is comfort. The work of Jesus Christ leads to you know, blessing. But He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." So you do have to come unto Him, don't you? Right, to get that rest. In John 14. John 14. Power-packed chapter of truth. John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. But you could spend a whole day just thinking about that verse. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you in verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and brings all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the characteristics of the Spirit that we were to receive was what? It was to be the Comforter. You know, God, he's the God of all comfort. His word is the word that brings comfort and hope to our lives. His Son was the one that was going to give us rest and peace and take our burdens upon himself. And the Spirit he was going to provide is called the Comforter. You see, none of this promises it's going to be easy or smooth. None if it does. All it provides is that he is definitely always with us. And he'll never leave us, never forsake us. And God made darn sure by that, by giving us the Spirit within, which is the great Comforter. In fact, in Corinthians, just look quickly at Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You remember this verse? Verse 21. In the law, verse 14, chapter 14, verse 21, 1 Corinthians, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Yet for all that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. And we know that's written in Isaiah, so we'll read that. Isaiah 28, what he was talking about. It is interesting sometimes when you read the context of the prophecies that are quoted in the New Testament, you get a better understanding of what the intent is for putting it there. This is one of them. Isaiah 28. Verse 10, for precept must be upon precept. I think we read this last week. Line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. You know, the Holy Spirit is the great comforter. And God said, this is the rest. And this is quoted in New Testament. So how much greater and is it to know that he's with us than the very truth that he has given us, one of the manifestations, to constantly remind us, I'm here. Don't be dismayed. You know, so all the things you know about him being with you, you can think about when you speak in tongues. You can say, okay, I'm speaking in tongues, which means I know you're with me. I don't have to be afraid now. I don't have to be dismayed. I can count on your mercy, your consolation, your comfort, your direction. You can think of all these things because God, that's what it says in his word. You know, that's who he is. And he said, when you speak in tongues, I'm there. You know, is there any time, are you ever unable to speak in tongues? No.
Not yet.
Not yet. No. Yeah. God forbid, right? Yeah, no. So there you go. What a wonderful, First Thessalonians. We were talking about this earlier too. Comfort just keeps on coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You guys know this. You know, when I first heard this, boy, I never forgotten it. Just shocked me that this was in here. I'm sure it's true for all of us. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know, he has provided comfort for us from day one, you know. And he's provided many ways, his word, his presence, the Holy Spirit, the work of Jesus Christ. And now he's given us his hope in the future. And he says, by the way, that ought to bring you great comfort too. You know, God forbid, should the inevitable ever happen. So, you know, we pass away, we fall asleep, and the things that happen, and those believers that happen to them, you know, and happens, is that we know where we're going. Boy, I mean, this is one of the greatest comforts there is. It just puts your whole life at ease, doesn't it? Okay, well, you know, here we are. We're going to do our best. Walk with you, God. We're going to do the best we know to do. You know, and should, you know, should things not work out in this life and we pass away, we fall asleep, we know we're going to be with you forever. And boy, that takes all the fear out of life, far as I'm concerned. It takes all the fear out of it. And even it says in the Bible that people were held in bondage by the fear of death. Held in bondage. And Jesus Christ came to get rid of that. And here we are, you know. Yeah, comfort. Why not? It's comfort. You know, we're going to see. We always say, you know, we'll see you here, there, in the air, and we're going to be there, and you know, we'll see you. We'll talk about. We'll ask Jesus Christ. You know those two guys on the way to Emmaus. You want to? Can you just tell us what you told them? I'd love to hear that. you know, or the things that we, you know, various questions we have. Like I said, I keep a file, and it's getting bigger by the day. It's called Things I Don't Know. It's a file. It's pretty thick right now, so we're going to ask here. Okay. You know, maybe he'll assign some angels to go over there, and here's some people who have questions about this and questions about that. Whatever. You know, it's...
Submit your questions, and we'll sort out...
Yeah. Which way are we going to go? Yeah. What category of questions in? Okay. Michael, deal with that. Gabriel. You know, whatever. So, here we are. We can think about this and joke about it, but you know what? It gives you comfort. And God provided that comfort for us. In 2 Thessalonians, while we're here, we're almost done. 2 Thessalonians 2. 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. What a wonderful verse. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. What a wonderful section. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing, salutation to the believers. You know, God's word to us. He's done all this for us, and he wants our hearts to be established in comfort and in hope and all the things that he has done through Jesus Christ. You know, I thought we'd close in Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, you know, and again, we could spend hours talking about shepherds and all that, but the fact that the sheep weren't worried when the shepherd was there. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So, you know, these things can happen. You know, if you read the rest of the Psalm, which I know you have, there are a lot of cases where, you know, David himself is talking about these kinds of situations that he was in. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. That's exactly what he told Joshua. There was no reason for him to be afraid. Why? Because God is with you wherever you go. Don't be dismayed. So here, you know, the psalmist, right, David here, he writes, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Oh, so there are enemies. Thou preparest a table in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When we started with that verse, you know, God said he was the God of all mercy, you know, the God of all comfort. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, so he certainly is the God of all comfort, and everything that he's done, you know, through his word, through the work of Jesus Christ, through the giving of the Holy Spirit, the promises of the hope of the return, all these things to comfort his people, to show them his great mercy, his love, his consolation, his grace, and his power, right? So we should just be very, very thankful that the God of all comfort is our daddy, our father, and cares for us so much. So, amen.